Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in time for a daily editorial this Wednesday. Got a bang out of one of your comments that I read last night, Tony. You said that Jimmy and I have abandoned the site, and I believe you didn't notice that yesterday, in spite of the fact that I was out of town for 3 days, involved around my move to Seattle, I answered every single comment. I thought some of them were pretty good, by the way. I have to say that. In terms of some of the comments that came in this morning on the authenticity of the moon landing, I don't know, that's something we can talk about. Jimmy, Biden is getting hammered right now. They are finding more and more documents, even though his office is on the record as saying just a very short while ago that there are no more documents to be found, and they're finding scads of new documents. We don't know if they're classified or not at this point, but new documents are being found.
Yeah, what's happened is the FBI is now searching Biden's beach house.
Right.
According to the White House and the Department of Justice, that this was agreed to. There's no warrant involved, but they're looking at it.
Yeah.
Now, what you're hearing from the press and what a lot of people are saying is, hey, there's just a handful of documents. I think we even talked about it yesterday that, you know, there are like 10 documents in one location, maybe a few others in other locations. Now, we know he's had a series of lies where the White House has said, hey, the search was over. And then it turns out more documents showed up in his house behind his garage with his Corvette. And then more documents show up and then more documents show up. And now we have another massive search at his beach house.
Yeah.
What people don't know is that there are a massive amount of documents that have been collected. And according to Maria Bartiromo, the Fox News correspondent, and Republican members of Congress, that there were boxes in boxes, as much of a tractor trailer load, I think was the quote, documents that have been confiscated.
See that. That's interesting. So she's obviously with Fox News. So Fox came out with that information, Jim?
Yes, as well as Republican members of Congress in oversight.
Yeah.
So they've collected boxes and boxes of documents. So they have not gone through all of them at this point. But obviously, this is a much deeper problem than the White House is willing to admit. And many members, Democratic members of Congress, are beginning to realize how potentially damaging this could be because of the relationship that the Biden family had with the Chinese government at the Penn Center and directly involved the Biden family directly involved in business dealings with Chinese operatives, with Chinese intelligence operatives, as well as Ukrainian corruption and, some of these, public statements that Biden made about firing the prosecutor that's investigating his son's company, Burisma. And his son was on the board. So this is a problem for the White House. Democrats are stepping away from it. That is an indicator that things will change, very much like Republicans stepped away from Nixon in the Watergate issue because of the politics and the optics.
Yeah.
So it's a problem. It's a big problem for this administration, for this regime.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the one place where I would just not necessarily disagree with you, but to me, you're implying that this is perhaps one of the biggest problems that the regime is facing right now. I think the biggest problem that they're facing is still the actions of Joe Sun, in the sense that Fox devoted about 20 minutes yesterday to some of the business dealings that go back a little bit farther. They go back about a year or thereabouts with Hunter's business dealing with China. It's looking really bad because the big guy apparently was getting 10% on this deal. And I think Hunter is going to basically somehow turn on a spigot as a result of his actions. And I think that's going to harm the president irreparably. Very soon.
Well, it's a deep and complicated problem.
Yes.
But the deeper problem, and I think the deeper problem for all of us, is the willingness of the Department of Justice to kind of protect and cover up their political allies. That's the most damaging problem. Now, there's a lot of things that the White House is facing, with border issues, with bad foreign policy, with the continuation of Ukrainian, you know, these weapons issues, where in March of last year he said that giving tanks would mean World War III, and then he announces last week that he's giving tanks to the Ukrainians.
Yeah.
These things they're just piling up. His inability to communicate, he actually stated that we know in September he said that the pandemic is over, but they didn't stop the pandemic because they had political objectives there in order to continue the student loan lie, because of the pandemic justification. They were trying to cover up and continue to keep people fearful. Each of these things built up. Now they announced that they're going to stop the pandemic. It's over on May 11th.
Right.
Makes absolutely no sense. It's really setting the Democrats up to, for pressure to vote with the Republicans to withdraw from the pandemic crisis now. And we're seeing that happening. It won't get signed by Biden, but these are political, very politically damaging positions for the Democrats and for Biden as they continue down the argument that somehow all of they did for the pandemic was justified. The forced vaccinations, the firing people from jobs because they weren't vaccinated, and then the damage that was done because of the vaccines, which is becoming more apparent.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of damage that they're facing. However, and this is my point, Al, this is the big diversionary thing, and there's a lot of information out there, and they can't deny it, that they've lied and tried to cover up with the classified document problem. Many times there are much deeper problems. Democrats won't admit that. The media won't admit that. But what they'll do is divert your attention to something that's shiny little object over here. Unfortunately for the Democrats and Joe Biden, that shiny object is becoming more and more ugly for them. And overall, when you look comprehensively at the failures with this administration, this is a very damaging point for the Democratic Party and their leadership.
Yeah, well, I personally think that when you talk about the damaging situation coming on for Biden, I think it's a combination to one extent of the hidden documents. I don't want to call them hidden, let's just say, of the documents that the administration swore up and down were not in existence. But now that they're found, it's kind of hard to take to wash your way out of that statement. But I still think that the relationship between Hunter and Joe is going to kill him, is going to kill Joe's political career, personally.
Yeah, you're probably right there. That's going to be a big problem. I think overall, that's why he's going to have to be dumped. And that's why he's going to have to be put out of office before either his time. I predicted that he'd be out in 6 months. I'm sure he would have been if Kamala Harris would have been a competent vice president. She's not.
That's an interesting point. Do you really think so?
Oh, I think he would have been gone in 6 months had she been had any popular appeal or been a competent communicator. She is not, and it continues to look really, really bad. Her little speech at recognizing a couple of astronauts yesterday sounded like kindergarten speak.
Yeah.
It's just embarrassing. And of course, Biden, he can't communicate at all. He said that the justification for the emergency orders to be turned off would be on the Supreme Court. This is ridiculous. He doesn't even know what he's doing. This is an executive order for emergency control here. He's lost it. So I think that's a big issue. I think the Democrats are going to face a very difficult problem identifying a candidate that will work well for them in 2024. And of course, Gavin Newsom was the lead on that, but he's starting to face some very challenging issues as well.
Yeah. I got a question for you. A lady who made the announcement last night that she was throwing her hat in the ring for the Republican nomination for president. My personal feeling when I saw that, I watched the entire announcement and the entire video interview, I guess I should say. I think she's setting herself up actually to run as a vice presidential candidate. I think that's a very wise move on her part.
Well, I think she's doing it. Now, she did not formally announce her candidacy. They say that she may do it at the Charleston, South Carolina convention in February in the 15th.
Yeah.
And Nikki Haley,
yeah.
Her problem is she basically equated, she made some comments very negative towards Donald Trump. At certain points, that's going to give her a very difficult hill to climb to overcome. She only polls in the 2-3% range. You may be right. She may be angling for the vice presidential nomination.
Right.
She'll fight through towards it. But I don't even think she's really going to be the best candidate for the Republicans as a vice president. You know, she's in South Carolina. I've met her. I've actually got a picture with her. She's a bright woman. She was very competent when she was here, did a lot of good things. But she also is very bound to kind of a broader globalist corporate mentality because she's so used to the way politics worked.
Yeah.
And she didn't understand the fight that was going on to the full extent that the government's the country's being manipulated by Democrats. I don't think that gives her a good position right now.
I don't know. I was pretty impressed when Nikki did announce that yesterday. And the first thought that popped into my mind, as I said earlier, was...
Well, hey, Al, I just want to make sure you're clear. She did not formally announce her candidacy for president. She has not done that yet. She's indicated in a discussion that she might.
Okay.
And is preparing for it.
The way that Fox did it last night, the way they handled it, to me, it was an indication that she fully intended to run. Now, I realize there's a back door she could still get out of, Jim. I do realize that.
Well, no. The reason why I'm saying this is because we want to be accurate in what we're reporting here.
Right.
And if she makes a formal announcement, there are a lot of legal requirements that go along with filing your candidacy and getting everything ready. Okay. If she had done that, it would be headline news. She has not officially done that yet.
Okay.
But she is indicating very clearly she's going to run.
Okay, and that's what I meant to say.
Yeah. So I just wanted to keep it clear. She did not make an announcement to run last night. They've been talking with her over the weekend at Fox News, and she's preparing to do it.
Okay. All right. Your point's well taken, Jim. Thank you. What else do you think is pertinent that's gone on in the last, let's say, 24 hours?
Well, here's a little bit of information that our people, you know, may be interested in. So the Ukrainian Minister of the Interior, under Zelensky, his helicopter crashed in Kiev last week.
Yeah, correct.
It killed him and the crew on board.
Right.
Now, what it looks like, so remember, Zelensky has fired a number of ministers because of corruption.
Yeah.
He has now fired a few people in the Ministry of Defense for illegal handling of funding and resources.
Okay.
The guy that was actually doing a lot of this investigation was the Minister of Interior, the man that died in the helicopter crash.
Yeah.
Now there is indications and there is research that the former Minister of Interior, previous Minister of Interior, actually was involved in that helicopter, which would mean he was trying to cover up and intimidate people that were doing research to identify corruption in Ukrainian government.
Right. Right. No,
so that's a very, you know, that's a very significant issue and event. I think overall, it's not, you know, this internal fight with, you know, who's doing what inside Ukraine and Kiev is about the same as what's happening in Moscow with who's in doing what to whom and who's what level of corruption in Moscow. Moscow is rated as a more corrupt country than Ukraine, just so everyone understands that. And of course, there was no legitimate elections with Vladimir Putin for the last, you know, 20 years.
Right.
So, it's a very, as many people want to say, you know, support Russia, they've got an authoritarian oligarchy that kind of runs it. What Ukraine is fighting to change that and has been for a long time, they have not been successful at it. But with this war, the Ukrainian people are very much motivated to defend themselves, and their soldiers are doing very well against a much more powerful foe. Yeah. So the long-term implications here would tend to favor, in my view, as I've said from the beginning, the Ukrainians coming out of this. No one is a winner. Everybody's a loser. But the Ukrainians will come out of this in a better position than the Russians.
Speaking of the Ukrainians, et cetera, had an interesting topic yesterday on the blog farther down in that I was going over probably about 10 o'clock last night. And that is, one of our listeners feels very strongly that the attack on the weapons factory in Iran was the result of actions by the Israelis. I don't believe that's a known fact, but I guess it seems to me that he got his information off of one of the websites, what I would call one of the conservative websites. I believe it was the Sargent Report.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation out there. The Israelis certainly have had a hand and been involved in targeting Iran in a number of occasions. They've done it openly and they've done it covertly.
Yeah.
There's no question. There's a conflict between Iran and Israel. That's a fact. What is more complex with this specific event is it appears that the drones that were used were localized drones that used artillery shells or some sort of a detonation device that created the problems from those drones. Those drones would have had to have been operated very locally within just basically a few mile radius at most.
Wow.
And that means that there's either operatives from Israel, operating closely, as I said yesterday, potentially Kurdish, Iranian Kurds that were, you know, working maybe in conjunction with Israel, or maybe in conjunction with Ukraine, or maybe in conjunction with NATO and the United States, because in fact this targeting was a very specific location.
Yeah.
That very specific location had to do with the support for Russia. There's a lot of pressure on the Iranians right now. There's been for supporting Russia with weapons. So it's hard to judge. We don't know. And regardless of what people will tell you right now, there need to be a lot more research and facts before we can identify the specific culprit of this event.
You know, I agree with that 100%, Jimmy. But I also want to say, I think we're going to get a day in the news when an awful lot of the subjects that we have been discussing specifically today are going to come to fruition, I guess is the best way that I can put it. I think we'll have major stories coming out regarding the document situation with the Biden administration, with Joe Biden. I think we'll have some interesting identity of who actually attacked the weapon system in Iran. And I'll tell you, when those two things are announced and everybody is aware of what's going on, you're going to see some major changes in the political world, Jim.
Well, you know, let's hope so. Things are going in the wrong direction right now with progressives and ideologically driven Marxists pushing agendas that are destroying the nation.
Identify those agendas, would you?
Yeah. So globalist control, I think big corporate tech entities are influencing people in order to, you know, push this woke ideology, which actually separates and divide, in order to crush, to have the opportunity to crush small businesses in competition, but also appeal to a larger Chinese market. And you want to start naming names of, you know, companies, Google, one of the key ones.
Yeah.
Many of the, you know, the major producers, vehicle producers right now, they're talking about doing electric cars when there's no lithium to build the batteries. When, you know, these are appeasing this administration. This administration is appeasing activists. These activists are ideologically driven by environmental damage and the idea that the world's going to collapse because of CO2. That whole ideology is being driven by propagandists to support against Western ideology, Western civilization. The Chinese are, and the Russians themselves are all involved in that, because guess what? They're going to use the energy. They're going to do coal-fired electric plants. They're going to continue to push their agenda in spite of what the West is doing to undermine its own position of power.
Yeah.
And I think that's being driven by authoritarians, by Marxists, and by capitalists that don't want competition.
Well, there's a huge, huge kind of under the surface war going on right now that for lack of better terms, the press is simply not covering. We've mentioned a number of those things today. An interesting fact that came out from our bloggers today is that a prediction was made that China will probably invade Taiwan this spring during the Taiwanese elections. Any comment on that?
I think there's a high probability that the Chinese will act before, well, they still have a capability to do it, and before this administration leaves office in the United States, because they know that the U.S. military has now committed way too many weapons to Ukraine. Our manufacturing capability for defense systems is very weak. We don't have the aluminum. We don't have the rare earth metals. We don't have the capacity in a global market. We depend on too many others to actually sustain our defense capabilities. And this administration would cow very quickly to that and not make the commitments. Or they would make a huge mistake and allow it to happen and then end up in a very nasty, nasty war.
The Biden administration would how would they allow that to happen? By simply not undertaking any actions in defense of Taiwan? Is that what you're saying?
By not taking any diplomatic actions prior to the pressure. And here's what's happening. And this is exactly what happened in Ukraine. We withdraw from Afghanistan, show weakness. Within a couple of months, the administration knew that the Russians were going to move on Kiev because they could identify that weakness.
Yeah.
Joe Biden in February, a week before the Russians invaded, said, hey, you know what? If you just take the eastern part of the country, that would be okay. I'm paraphrasing here, but basically
that's what he said. Yeah, I know you are. You mentioned that a couple of times. I think that's a ridiculous statement on Biden's part.
It was inviting the Russians to take action because they know they could put more pressure. Now, they failed because the Ukrainians put up a very effective defense.
Yeah.
And they were not, and regardless of what, you know, I think CFS says, hey, you know, I don't think that they were ever planning to control Kiev. They were absolutely planning to change the government in Kiev to more favorable Russian objectives.
Agreed.
There would be no point in fighting the war without doing that. Whether they could hold the country ever, irrelevant. But they put all the weapon systems, all the logistics supplies, and moved very rapidly towards Kiev, and then were stopped by Ukrainian special operations forces in a very, very bold defense. So you cannot tell me that they were not attempting to install their own government, a favorable government in Kiev. That's a huge mistake for anybody to think that they were not trying to push that.
I agree. I want to get your opinion on one last thing, and that is, or just get some comments on one last thing, and that is that Ukraine is apparently putting out the word that they need more weapons to defend themselves at this moment in time. How do you feel about that? Who's going to fill that void?
Well, I mean, the Western NATO countries are trying right now.
Yeah.
We don't even have enough ammunition to give them. We don't have enough to sustain our own stocks if we did get into another conflict. But the reason why they're doing it is because the Russians are actually, you know, trying a buildup right now in some of the key areas in the Donbass and up in the eastern area to do a counteroffensive in the springtime. So they know they're going to need that. And the more they demand, most NATO countries have been responding. So, I mean, we're talking 300, over 300 heavy armored vehicles, tanks with better optics and longer range shots.
Right.
And then you're also talking, the French are actually considering fighter aircraft, which is very unusual and strange.
I saw that yesterday. Let me ask you one last kind of general question. Did you ever in your wildest dreams think that little Ukraine could defend themselves as effectively as they are from Russia?
So within the first couple days, and we can go back to when we talked about this on the radio, I felt that the Ukrainians had a better position than many people understood.
Right.
That it would be very difficult for Russia to be able to take them and either occupy large swaths of it or actually win.
Yes.
Did I think that it would be this painful for the Russians? I didn't think it would last this long. Did I think Ukraine could last this long? They wouldn't have without Western NATO support and other neighborhood support. But even if they had no other support, there would have been Ukrainians that were continuing to cause problems and in an insurgency that the Russians could have never managed. Right. That is very clear because that's exactly what happened to the Russians in Afghanistan. That's what happened to the United States when we walked away from Afghanistan. That's what happened in Iraq when we walked away from northern Iraq in 2014 and ISIS grew to this massive size, massive size that it was before Trump crushed them. That's just the way it works. You know, people are the Ukrainians are fighting for their lives. They know that they do not want to be under Russian control. Now, that's you can take away Zelensky, you can take away the entire leadership in Ukraine, and there are still Ukrainian people that are nationalistic that will continue to fight. Okay. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'll be an interesting situation in the future. Having said that, Jim, it's been a good little daily editorial today. We touched on a lot of subjects, and I've thoroughly enjoyed doing this. Thanks very much.
You bet, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.